What is your phobia and what have you done to get over it? This is the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 1071, streaming live at mytalk1071.com, Everything Entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
Have you ever gotten over a phobia? 651-641-1071, and how did you do it? Okay, so I admittedly, I don't know a whole lot about Kim Zolciak, except for that she shows up in conversations every once in a while. But she's got, a reality show, Don't Be Tardy. Yeah. And on this reality show, she went to a Texas dude ranch.
That's still a thing.
Apparently.
They have dude ranches.
A little wild and a little strange.
And apparently one of the reasons why was because, or at least one of the things she was dealing with while at the dude ranch, is that she has severe anxiety around horses. And so she was sort of like addressing her phobia during this episode of Don't Be Tardy.
Okay.
So,
her horsophobia.
She has a horsophobia. And I
What's
thought.
That called, I wonder.
Yeah. Would you? It's probably like equinophobia or something.
Yeah. No, I bet it is. Yeah.
Is
equinophobia.
It? Yeah. There you go. So 651-641-1071. Have you ever gotten over a phobia and how did you do it? That's just what this, that's what it sparked in me. And I wanted to also give you guys an update on my phobia.
What's your phobia?
I'm afraid of windmills.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't like a big wind turbine.
Are you fine?
No, I'm not fine, but I'm making progress toward my goal of not being afraid. We have one drive that we take pretty regularly in our lives. My family does, where we go right by a windmill. And sometimes I have to drive it alone with my kids.
Yeah.
Usually if I know we're going to encounter a windmill, I can't be driving. Or if I am, I have to like cover, I have to put my hand up, like put the, I can't see it. If it's even in my periphery, I get real anxious. And I finally just decided one day, I was like, what would happen if I just let it be? Like if I just was like, there is a windmill there. And
so
I'm
some exposure therapy.
A little bit. Now, I didn't get real exposy. Like, I'm not going to drive up to that thing and, like, hug it or anything. But I can allow it to be in my field of view and not stare at it and not be bothered by it, right?
Yeah.
So my daughter was really excited by that because she was like, you, Mom, like, you have to drive. You can't, like, freak out every time we pass the windmill. It's probably kind of dangerous. Now, I am concerned because we do have some drives in the future in the next, you know, I'm going to say like 6 months that we will be having to take down 35W into Iowa. And do you know what is on 35W in Iowa? Like huge wind farms. Huge.
Oh, yeah.
Not just one singular windmill, just whoof.
Well, you're going to get some practice.
Whoop. Oh my gosh, there's going to be so many. I'm already terrified. So anyway, we're working on that. We're working on getting to that exposure, you know, to that place where I can do that. But I wanted to know from other people, what are your phobias and what have you done to get over them? Holly, do we have any callers?
Yeah, we have Tare on the line.
Wonderful. Hi, Tare. Tare, what's your phobia and what'd you do to get over it?
Hi, guys. It's storms and it's been really, really bad for many, many years. And I take care of kids, so I had to figure out how I'm going to get through it when they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally took a flood flashlight and stayed up all night through a really bad storm a couple of years ago and just talked to myself and looked at it head on, cried. And I think I'm pretty much okay because I slept through the last really big storm this summer. So.
Wow. Yeah, I love
that's
that.
That's awesome. That's huge.
I think
congrats.
You just have to, yeah, I mean, but it was debilitating. I mean,
I was scared.
Not, you know, just like, ooh, I don't like the sound of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been something that's been a long time, but, you know, somebody said to me, you just have to be head on with it. And, you know, it can't take you.
It sounds like it worked.
It worked.
Thank
you. So good.
Congrats, Tare.
You know, the next time.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Tare. I will say, though, there is something to that, like, exposure to the thing that scares you. I mean, I don't know. that you have to, and also when you have kids, you can't show them when you are that afraid of something, like it leaks out, like they absorb that, they like learn from that. So there is like a practice to, or there is like an awareness when you have children around you that like you don't want to show them that you're so terrified of something mm-hmm. because you don't want them to pick up that fear
mm-hmm.
for themselves.
Yeah.
So that can be motivating to try to deal with some phobias. Do we have any other calls, Holly?
We don't.
Fine. Mm-hmm. Cool. I was like hoping somebody would be like,
would you like to know what my fear was?
Yeah, what was it?
So I had like a crippling fear of flying.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't really do anything. I will say I had anxiety around flying, which I never had before. It was very situational. So it came and went, and it took about 2 years, I think, to go. And during those 2 years, like I could not even like think, like every time I would think about getting on an airplane, it would just send me into like, you know, panic mode.
Mm-hmm.
But then magically after a couple years, it went away. And now I'm like, when can I get on a plane again? And I don't have that. I don't know if it was just going through the experience, but now I don't even think about like, I mean, you know, I'm not asking for like major turbulence, but even when there's turbulence on a plane, I'm not freaked out about crashing. I don't have all that. Whatever my mind was doing for those 2 years,
yeah.
I thankfully don't have that anymore. But honestly, I didn't. There was no like magic. It was
that
just
is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just like allowing it the space yeah. to work itself out.
Because I think it tends to have more to do with like if you have anxiety or, you know, panic attacks or something. I think it has far more to do with that biochemistry than one particular, you know, like root of all the fear that like you have to like go back to some original thing. Like I'm sure some people have to do that kind of stuff for their own
yeah.
anxieties, but thankfully mine just kind of
worked itself out.
Yep.
Lucky.
But it was real.
Oh yeah. See, that's the thing I do want to say is like those anxiety or like that fear, it might not make sense to somebody else, but it is so completely real to the person who's suffering from it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
for sure.
And that can be really frustrating when you have a fear like that, that other people are like, why, like, what do you mean you're like, you know, you're acting crazy about that thing. And it's like, to me, the fear is so real
yeah.
and it doesn't need to be real to anybody else in order for it to be real.
I always think of it as like the fear, the thing is not real that I'm afraid of, but your body's reaction to whatever that is that's just a biochemical thing. Like your
right.
body is producing chemicals. So you have to figure out a way to turn off all those chemicals.
Turn the valve off.
Yeah.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we have to check in with Zac Efron. What's Zac Efron up to and what does he smell like?
Mm-hmm. Just
that's
wait,
the real
guys.
Question. We'll talk about Zac Efron's stank after this on My Talk 107.1. We are going to soak up the smell of Zac Efron. This is the Colleen and Bradley show. My Talk 107.1. Streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Traynor.
Hi.
Hi. What does Zac Efron smell like and why are we talking about it?
I don't know, but we're going to find out because you can now get a scented pillow mist that smells like Zac Efron.
What?
So first of all, hat tip to social media director Hannah. She texted this to me and said, here you go. And the headline was, you can smell Zac Efron on your pillow. And apparently this is from a lingerie company based in the UK. They are now selling a range of limited edition pillow mists that smell just like your favorite celebrities, including but not limited to Zac Efron. And you may say to yourself, self, how do they know what Zac Efron smells like?
Self, how do they know what Zac Efron smells like?
That's a great question. Did you come up with that on your own?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats.
Mm-hmm.
No, according to Pour Moi, their range is inspired by perfumes the celebrities like Zac Efron actually wear in their real life. So now, this is how they describe these pillow mists.
Okay, I got a question, but go on.
You know, you can have questions in a moment.
I'm gonna.
This is what they say, quote, "With the cold, long nights drawing in, there's nothing better than slipping into your favorite nightwear, snuggling down on a soft pillow and dreaming about your celebrity crush. And our new bed sprays will create sensual dreams filled with the actual scent of the superstar you admire.
So,
what's your question?
My question is, why would I buy that when I can just buy whatever smell they wear?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they give you like a name, but what they do say is, in reference to Zac Efron particularly, finally being nearly moved to tears about how much he loves pasta.
What?
This is Zac Efron. We don't deserve him. Take Zac to bed with you with our pillow mist inspired by his favorite perfume, packed with ultra fresh herby notes and energizing green apple. They're not going to tell you which one it is, obviously, because that would be like a branding issue.
I think I could
but
Google that.
If you're like, I don't want to smell, well, let's be clear, you're probably going to pay more for the actual perfume than you would pay for these. But what I wanted to let people know is that if you're not like Colleen and I, a huge Zac Efron fan, and you don't want to huff Zac Efron on your pillow all night long, but wait, there's more. So you can also smell up Harry Styles stink, which apparently smells like a heady mix of creamy vanilla, dry fruits, and woody sweet sap. They also have pillow stanks for Margot Robbie, Rihanna, Maya Jama, Jennifer Aniston, and Bradley Cooper.
I just, like, okay, first of all, I will just say all the celebrities that you have listed look like they have a good smell. There are celebrities that look like they stink.
Okay. What is
like
that?
Johnny Depp.
Anything.
Johnny Depp probably smells like BO and regret. And then I think that Matthew McConaughey looks like he would smell like sweaty patchouli.
Musky.
And so all I'm saying is I'm glad that like they chose good celebrities who look like they have good smells.
The ones that Colleen thinks smell good.
But you know that Johnny Depp stinks.
Or like, what does Nicolas Cage smell like?
Like rotten old stale cigarettes.
Feet.
And feet.
It smells like feet. And I bet his toenails in the living room and then shoves the nail bits under the couch.
Oh, I was going to say he saves them in a jar.
Knowing that fool, he does.
He does.
Puts him in a Ziploc. Okay, but quickly, what I wanted to ask you was not let's ponder the most disgusting smells, but if you were going to huff a celebrity at night, which also that's kind of like delightful in your marital bed, like, I'm sorry, I have to spray my celebrity
crush scent on my pillow. Spray my Zac Efron smell.
What celebrity funk do you want up in your
nose
your
holes?
Pillow?
What celebrity? I mean, honestly, like Zac Efron is just perfect, so I would just pick him because so that just seems so obvious, right? Like
it's so obvious.
It's
but,
so
you know,
obvious.
The annoying thing is, it's not going to really smell like Zac Efron. Although I will say that because people do attach themselves to scents. If this is what he actually smells like when you're in the room with him, meaning if he wears a scent that is so close to this. That he, you know, that every time that you smell that, you get the idea of Zac Efron. Like, I think that could be something legitimate. For example, you will know when Steve Patterson is in our building, in our midst.
Yeah, in our midst because of his mist.
Now, he probably changes up his smells a couple times, but for the most part, you'll know what, if you catch a whiff, right?
Yeah.
That's Steve Patterson.
Yeah, hallway. He was in our hallway yesterday, and I knew it because I walked out and I was like, "Steve's been here. Where are you, Steve?"
And it's because lest people think he has BO. It's because he wears a man fragrance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So he can't hide from you. That's the other thing that you need to know is a person that wears fragrance can't hide anywhere because you can literally sniff him out.
What's weird is that, like, I know we're going all over the place. By the way, if you do want the Zac Efron pillow, just Google Pour Moi. It's a UK-based company, but that's French.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I'm also fluent in French. In French dressing. No, but before we go all over the place, what was I going to say?
We were talking about how you can't hide when you wear fragrances. Oh, yeah.
Like 10 years ago, I don't think we would be able to nail down individual people based on scents mm-hmm. in a way that we can today, because everybody used to wear scent, maybe not even 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago.
And nobody right? like, there does was a anymore. Time when
nobody smelled cigarette smoke ever. Nobody smelled cologne ever, because everybody wore cologne. Right now, if mm-hmm. you wear cologne, it's so obvious.
Yeah.
And people are like, whoa, you put something on today, didn't you?
Right.
Right? Like, don't you feel like we have a higher, or we're more scent-sensitive?
Yeah, we are more scent-sensitive because people mostly just stopped wearing fragrances because there's so much sensitivity to it. Which then makes me think, like, is the perfume business a little bit like, hey, guys, we're still making your OD toilets? Like, you know what I'm saying?
That might be part of the problem.
Well, I've always...
OD toilets.
Can we just sit... Okay, sorry. Now we're going to another place. But I've always, always thought it was a weird choice to put toilet water on the actual perfume. Like, that is something... that we are celebrating is that yeah. that is made
because
from
it's
toilet
French.
Water. The French, French have very pure toilet water. Yeah. When we return on the Colleen and Bradley Show, celebrities behaving badly. We call them D-bags, and we're going to tell you all about them after this on My Talk 107.1. Celebrities behaving badly. We love to tell you about them on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com, everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
And we have a name for those celebrities, and that name is...
D-Bags.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Who is your D-Bag? Who
Isaiah Washington and Katherine Heigl.
Whoa.
Ooh, it's a BOGO D-bag.
It is a BOGO D-bag, and it is like a retro BOGO D-bag.
Retro,
because Isaiah Washington and Katherine Heigl worked together on the amazing TV drama known as Grey's Anatomy. Sorry, what? Did you say something?
No.
Holly, are we keeping you up? I watch Grey's Anatomy, as do so very many people.
Not that we would know about that.
Because it is the longest running medical drama on television. It's groundbreaking and record breaking. But Isaiah Washington and Katherine Heigl are like major throwback characters on that show, or yeah. actors on that show. And, you know, there's a history to do with them. Isaiah Washington used some abusive homophobic slurs on set.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, was shown the door because Shonda Rhimes, who's the showrunner for Grey's Anatomy, like has a zero tolerance policy for that kind of behavior. So he was fired from that job. And Katherine Heigl kind of was, she was not people's favorite. And both of them have really not had the success that they had on Grey's Anatomy since. And what I'm understanding from the news today is that Isaiah Washington still hasn't quite maybe gone to therapy around his feelings around this experience, because he is like drumming up old stuff on Twitter. He posted a picture of Katherine Heigl. And the sentiment that goes along is, this woman once proclaimed that I should, quote, never be allowed to speak publicly again. The world agreed with her proclamation back then and protested for my job and my head in 65 languages. I wish I was on Twitter in 2007 because I will never stop exercising my free speech. So he's using his Twitter to call out Katherine Heigl, which of course then gets him attention, but then also gets her attention in a time when none of us were paying attention to them.
Interesting, yeah.
And it's this is just one of those situations where I am so sorry that Isaiah Washington was not able to rehabilitate his career. That said, perhaps rather than pointing the finger at Katherine Heigl for, I mean, and how she handled it was not necessarily right, and I can tell you about that in just a second. But instead of like pointing your finger at her, maybe do the work on yourself that led to you're losing that job in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
When it looks like you're pointing your fingers outwards,
maybe you should look at the one that is pointing at you. Meanwhile, as I said, I told you I'd tell you kind of how Katherine Heigl had handled that at the time, you know, which this will happen when something happens on set. They will interview the other people on set about the incident that occurred. And it was during an interview with Access Hollywood that Katherine Heigl said of Isaiah Washington that he, quote, needs to just not speak in public, period. Now, was that probably a little harsh in that moment? Probably. But Katherine Heigl is not known for, you know, giving out cookies and hugging people. Like she, yeah. You know, well, the bottom She's line is this. Anything. Nobody quite knows why Isaiah Washington felt like he needed to bring up that old stuff, but I just... Let
he
it go,
was
man.
Looking for some headlines.
Let
man.
It and it
Do,
worked.
Does he have any projects going or things that he's trying to get off the ground?
I don't know. Now, the person who I really would love to talk about, who was done so wrong in that situation, is T.R. Knight, because yeah. He ended up without a job and he did nothing. I mean, he really did nothing to deserve that, and he was a great actor. I don't know. I just the drama, the old school drama from. Grey's Anatomy. I will say about Isaiah Washington that bringing that stuff up could be in response to the way that Grey's Anatomy has made headlines in the last week for the plot twist at the end of their season premiere.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it wasn't a little bit of like leveraging the moment.
Yeah. Like this is in headlines and now people right. are paying attention. Now's my chance.
Right.
But for what?
I don't know. Attention. He does have a couple. Nope. I don't know. He does have a couple things in the hopper. He also took part in a political documentary this year. I think that he like maybe produced it called Trump Card. So.
Okay. So he's got stuff.
He's doing stuff.
He might be looking for attention as yeah. celebrities are wont to
mm-hmm.
do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's your D-bag?
Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Oh my God, I have a D-bag for you. Guess who it is?
Who?
The Blast!
The Blast! Welcome
it's
again
blast
to The Blast.
I mean, let's just keep the hits going, shall we?
We might as well.
Yeah.
Thank you. I've got two for you, but we're going to start with this one. Okay. Demi Rose. Do you know what a Demi Rose
like
is?
Like half a rose?
What's in a rose? I don't know. But Demi Rose, I'm assuming she's an influencer. Oh, yeah. She's an influencer and a model. And here's the headline. Because now, for those of you uninitiated, The Blast is a trash tabloid that is real horny and is always showing some stuff. And we like to make fun of it because they are not even trying. Headline, Demi Rose shakes her peach in leather pants while in slow motion.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
So she posted literally a slow motion video in leather pants with her, I guess her butt is like her.
Oh wow. Holy buckets.
Her signature body part.
Oh my gosh.
It's a thing.
Sorry, I clicked on where they've highlighted videos.
That's not leather.
And that's not leather pants.
That's latex.
Yeah, well, clearly.
You guys, I must have clicked on the wrong thing because all I got was a full moon.
Oh.
Oh, you got a butt?
Yes.
There's a full moon on the
rise. I don't know where you
okay,
ended up.
Look.
But she's just
look
like
in the
walking.
Second paragraph where it says the influencer shared a series of slow motion videos. Click on videos and you're going to get mooned.
Okay, hold on. I want to get mooned.
I'm telling yeah. you. You're going to get see. Straight up full
Whoa,
moon.
That
Wait
is
a
some
second. I'm not seeing any.
Okay, well, did you click on the right
no,
thing?
No, you got to click on the word videos.
Oh, on the word videos. Okay, I see. Oh, here we go.
Well, no wonder
okay,
she has 15...
Oh!
Yeah. Yep.
No okay. wonder she has 15 million followers.
Yeah.
Hello.
Jeez.
Hello.
Hello.
This is so fat. Oh, I'm so fascinated. I'm so fascinated.
Well, by her buttocks?
Well, yes. But also, I'm just looking through her account.
She has 15 million followers.
She has 15 million. And is that, it looks like she's got some bruises on her behind. Oh, doesn't it? In that picture, it looks like a bruise.
Anyway,
But the moral of the story
I
is
thought
like,
it just looked really sandy.
Oh, could be sand on her butt.
Yeah, I think it's sand. She was sitting in it.
And now we all are. I mean, she's very gorgeous. And she does have a very...
luscious peach?
Large, I mean...
A pronounced derriere?
Mm-hmm. Is that real? I know it's...
Yeah.
I mean, look how...
I'm going to go with no.
Yeah.
It looks very much like a Kim Kardashian experience where there has been some alteration to the waist, mm-hmm. either through a waist trainer or something.
Which then will give the booty an appearance of more robustness.
Moral of the story is, and don't click on video if you want to watch the slow-mo of her butt roll as she walks down the street.
Her butt roll?
Oh, it's like B-roll, butt roll,
okay,
right?
Okay, okay, thanks. didn't sound good.
Look at my butt roll. But she's just like walking down the street and it's like... It's kind of fascinating, mesmerizing.
It is. I will say I do feel gross scrolling through her Instagram here at work. Like, I'm afraid if somebody looked over my shoulder, they'd be like, why like is
Arthur's
Colleen
come in like,
looking at soft porn during the workday?
All in a day's work.
It is.
Yeah, I did also just want to share with you quickly another headline from The Blast. Just because it's just like everything is sexual to these people. Jessica Simpson beats up batter in sexy stilettos on kitchen floor.
What?
Like, it's just like a bunch of sexy words, and you're like, I don't know what that means, but it sounds dirty.
She
and then
beats
you
up
open it
batter
up.
In sexy stilettos on the kitchen floor?
She's literally making cookies or something on the floor in sexy stilettos.
I mean, this is just, this is like where kids go... to like look at bottoms. I mean,
are
what I'm
you
saying
okay? Where kids go to look at bottoms.
What I'm saying is that
basically a description for the internet.
It's like the maxim of the internet.
No, it is.
Yes.
Where it's just like, oh, okay, well, we're gonna curate a fine selection of bums, boobs, and legs for you to ogle so you don't have to scroll through Instagram because they're just repurposing Instagram content and all of these things.
Right? Like, they're just describing what they see on Instagram.
Right. Like,
but then there's every once in a while, they'll have, like, you know... I mean, like this one, Jessica Simpson flexes weight loss in shocking three-way.
What? I mean, I'm shocked. What three-way are we talking about?
I think because she's in a three-way mirror.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
as much as
mirror.
I would like to. So what we're doing, and this is like Blastception right here.
Yeah.
They are telling their readers what they see on Instagram, and then we are telling our listeners what the Blast says about what they see on Instagram.
So who's the real D-bag here, ladies and gentlemen?
It's not us. All I know is it's not us. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we have to check in with Massimo Giannulli. He's getting ready to move into his new residence in prison. And we want to hear how he's prepping for that. We'll talk about it after this on My Talk 107.1. Thank you, Holly. This is the Colleen and Bradley show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Traynor.
Hi.
We got to check in with Massimo Giannulli. He is moving. He is packing up and getting ready to move to the big house. How is he preparing himself, Bradley Traynor?
Oh, you guys, I just want you to know he's getting ready for getting behind bars. And he's decided that his best way to prepare for his November 19th date is to get his hair shaved.
What?
Head shaved.
What on earth?
He's going to prison.
Is it because he's not going to be able to get his hair done in prison?
Well, I don't know if... I mean, it seems to me like maybe he's trying to look like some sort of Hollywood notion of a prisoner. Like, I'm going to look real tough and bald.
I'm going to say this.
I don't know. Like, I can't. I mean, it's
he looks
very
like
shocking.
Charles Manson in the picture. I'm sorry.
Well, he kind of does.
Right?
I mean, no offense, but you look like a serial killer.
I mean,
it's a severe
look. But what's hilarious about this,
yeah,
he has nice hair, so it had to be a thoughtful choice, right? So TMZ had these photos of him with his gray beard and his shaved head. They called it a buzz cut. That's not a buzz cut. He shaved his head bald.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, like, it's hilarious that he's trying to look tough for prison, whatever that means, because he's not going to, like, maximum security prison. He's going to I don't remember the exact name, but it's similar to the one that his wife is at.
Yeah, it's like a summer camp.
Yeah.
For criminals.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to learn underwater basket weaving, and, like, he can take hobby classes.
And also, I would just say, look at him. Like, he has nice hair, so it's not like he was just like, oh, my hair's thin and I'm just going to do the shavy thing.
No, you're right. You know, like, people do that. This was a choice.
He has, like, big, swoopy, Italian, black, jet black, thick hair.
Also, I don't know. I'm interested in the choice to leave the facial hair.
Yeah, again, I think that's to make him look mean.
But shave the head. No, you're not fooling anybody, honey.
Look at him,
honey,
without the beard. You know, he looks much younger. But, like, with the beard, he's like... Although I will say he did trim the beard somewhat. Like, if you look at recent previous photos, he did trim the beard pretty successfully. I just think, God, this must just be a total mind bleep. Like, I don't wish anybody going to prison, right?
No. But if you've committed a crime...
No. Yeah. Like, obviously. I'm just saying, like, I put myself in the person's shoes, like, what must be going through their head, like, especially and I'm not trying to be empathetic. I'm trying to understand what it must be like to be in that position, because mm-hmm. I imagine it has to be a very, like I said, it's got to be a mind bleep, because, you know, you have this privileged individual who, you know, got into this mess because of his privilege, right? Did not think he was ever going to run afoul of the law, much less suffer any consequences as a result, much less, if those consequences existed, would they lead to a months long prison sentence, yeah, right? Like, so you just have to imagine this dude had no expectation that this was going to happen. And then when it did become apparent that it was happening, that had to just totally, like, shift his consciousness in a way that I'm sure he hasn't yet dealt with. And that probably led to, like, you know, weird thinking.
Like a weird panic, freak out, shave your head.
I just gotta shave my head.
So, did you ever watch, there is a reality show, hold on, I gotta find out what network it's on. I want to say it's on, like, one of the Discovery channels. It's a series called 60 Days In. A&E. It's on A&E.
I remember you talking about it, yeah, but I didn't see it.
There's six seasons of it. It's it started in 2016. And I watched, like, I want to say, like, half a season one time. I got really into it, because what they do is they take a group of people and they put them undercover in prison to see what it looks like, or what it's like when you go into prison. And there are these prison coaches who help coach them on how to behave and how to survive in prison. And so it did open my eyes to how different the ecosystem is. When you're on the outside, you don't necessarily realize, you know, what the reality of life behind bars,
oh, sure,
looks like, right? So it makes me wonder, and these prison coaches, I thought, my gosh, like, that's an actual thing. Mm-hmm. And certainly for privileged people, for very wealthy, privileged people who have been found guilty of crimes and are having to do their time, they have these prison coaches.
It's just the most bizarre thing, because even in serving a prison sentence, you know, they will be landing in the prison yard with a golden parachute.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so pathetic that, like, you can hire a prison coach,
yeah,
so that you can navigate the system. I mean, and think about all the people who don't have the luxury of a prison coach.
Well, and that's the thing I think about is like, you know, they will still have a better experience of prison than even than anybody.
Oh, for certain.
And when you think about then what a bad prison experience looks like, and those people, I mean, the others didn't get prison coaches, right? Like, they had to figure it out for themselves. It's just an odd, we live in a weird world,
it's
y'all.
Weird,
it's a strange place.
It's weird.
It's really weird. When you see Massimo Giannulli shaving his head so that he can fit in, but I don't know. But you know he has a prison coach.
Oh, yeah. It was like, shave your...
Yeah.
Now, I will say we have to remember he's got a much longer sentence than she does because her sentence was 2 months. His is 5 months. So he's going to be locked away for more time than she was. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what she does when she gets out. She's supposed to be out right before Christmas, I think.
Hmm. And he'll be in until Easter.
Yeah.
But good that, you know, they'll be able to celebrate the holidays.
Yay.
I'm kidding. You know, before we go, Bradley, let's remind everybody what they should be listening to later today.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You should be downloading our second episode of Go Deep in the Shallow. It's our podcast. It's all about all the things we talk about on this show, our favorite pop culture rabbit holes. This week, it's all about not just publationships, but... Or no, yeah, yeah. This week it is all about publications.
It is, actually.
Sorry, because I'm a week ahead of,
don't do that,
where the actual download is. This week, episode 2, all about publationships, right?
Yep, it's called Publationships 101. You're going to get your primer on what a publationship is. And so it is our second episode. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you review. And then just tell your friends. It's a great way to take a deep dive into the things that we talk about on the show in a way that we aren't able to on the show. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, speaking of a deep dive, Bradley went on a deep dive around Gillian Anderson.
Weird.
It's a fascinating journey. Stick with us. He's going to take us on that trip after this on My Talk 107.1.